This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes. Cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And in this hour, we're going to talk about the cutting edge of theoretical physics with Professor Sean Carroll. Professor of Theoretical Physics at Caltech, author of a number of great books, including From Eternity to Here, The Particle at the End of the Universe, The Big Picture, and his latest book is called Something Deeply Hidden, Quantum Worlds and the Emergence of Space-Time. So we'll be talking about some of the deepest mysteries of creation and what is reality anyway. And also, you may want to check out my website. It's mkaku.org, M-K-A-K-U.org. On Facebook, we have 3 million fans on Facebook. On Twitter, about 1 million people per week dial into my Twitter account. And you can see my 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest New York Times bestseller is called The Future of Humanity, talking about how physicists view the whole question of exploring the universe. What about going beyond the solar system? What about fusion, antimatter engines? And what about Alcubierre drives and maybe even warp drive? And then in The Future of the Mind, I talk about the latest discoveries concerning consciousness. Do you know that telepathy, telekinesis, so-called mind reading, things that were once considered beyond the scope of science, we can actually do on a small scale? And this is called The Future of the Mind. So go to my website, mkaku.org, to find out what I'm up to. And also, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, if you want to get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Write that number down. 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to or the website, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Well, once again, our special guest today is Professor Sean Carroll, Professor of Theoretical Physics at the California Institute of Technology, author of an exciting new book, Something Deeply Hidden, Quantum Worlds and the Emergence of Space-Time. Well, before we begin with the formal interview, let me ask you a question about what's making some headlines in the science world. Most scientists believe that the universe is about 13.7, maybe 13.8 billion years of age. And we were confident that we knew that number to 3 significant figures. Not 14, not 13, but not 12, but 13.7 or 8 billion years of age. Here's a new report coming out of the Max Planck Institute in Germany saying, their results show that the universe could be 2 billion years younger than previously thought. Now, what the hell is happening here? Do physicists really know the age of the universe?
Well, we have a pretty good idea, I would say. But yeah, there's definitely uncertainty there. And one of the reasons why there's uncertainty is because there are very different methods of figuring it out. So you can sort of measure it almost directly by looking at how fast the universe is expanding with looking at galaxies nearby. But then there's an indirect method that says, let's look at the leftover radiation from the Big Bang. It has certain features in it, and ask, you know, what did those features tell us about the age of the universe? And back just a few years ago, the error bars, the uncertainties, were big enough that those methods gave us the same answer, but now it seems that maybe they don't.
Okay, well, stay tuned, and we'll give you more information from other cosmologists as we zero in on the question, what is the age of the universe? But today, let's talk about your book. The book is called Something Deeply Hidden, Quantum Worlds and the Emergence of Space-Time. Well, let's be blunt about this. The word quantum is so overused. On Wall Street, there's quantum this, quantum that. You go to any pharmacy store, and there's quantum aging. You go to any new age conference, and there's all sorts of buzzwords which use the word quantum. So here's the question. What is, in a nutshell, very simply, what is quantum mechanics, and how does it differ from Einstein's great theory of relativity?
Quantum mechanics is a replacement for classical mechanics, the physics we were all taught in high school that came down to us from Isaac Newton, where you have particles and fields, and you know what they do. You can trace out their motion over time. Quantum mechanics shows up especially obviously in the microscopic world, where we look at electrons and atoms and so forth, and it teaches us that the right way to think about an elementary particle is not as a point-like particle, but as a spread-out wave function. It's sort of more wave-like than particle-like. The weird thing about quantum mechanics is that when you observe the wave function, you don't see the entire wave function. It looks to you like a particle, even though it is a wave. And that's the central mystery that physicists are trying to understand.
Okay, now, if everything is based on waves, waves are a little bit uncertain because you don't really know where that damn wave is at any given point. So doesn't that eventually lead us to what is called uncertainty, the uncertainty of Werner Heisenberg?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And again, another embarrassment in terms of physicists' understanding of quantum mechanics is that we haven't agreed on exactly the right way to talk about this. So I know that some people like to say we can't predict or we don't know the position and velocity of an elementary particle at the same time. I like to say that there is no such thing as the position of a particle or the velocity of a particle. What there is a wave function, and things like position and velocity are what we can observe about it. And because all we can do is observe a probability, it looks to us like there's something we don't know, even though before doing the experiment we knew everything there was.
Okay, now let's get to the heart of your book. One of the founders of this entire theory, the theory of quantum mechanics, was Erwin Schrödinger. But Schrödinger hated, absolutely hated this probabilistic, uncertain interpretation of his equation. And in order to demolish this new interpretation of waves and uncertainty, even though he introduced the wave equation to begin with, he talked about a cat. So let's now talk about the famous Schrödinger cat paradox, which some philosophers believe is perhaps the greatest paradox in all of science. You can forget all the paradoxes you learned in English class or whatever. Let's now talk about how a physicist views one of the greatest paradoxes of all time, the paradox of the cat.
Yeah, you know, Schrödinger was, like you said, a little bit upset that his equation, which he invented, turned into a way to predict experimental results probabilistically. He never wanted that. So to highlight the absurdity of it, he said, look, if you believe that an electron can really be in a superposition of different locations, then I can amplify that by putting it in a box, measuring it, and transferring that amplification of the superposition to a cat. So the cat is in the superposition of being alive or being dead, and according to the rules of quantum mechanics as they were then understood, it stays that way until you open the box. And when you open the box, it suddenly snaps into either alive or dead unpredictably. So there's different versions of quantum mechanics, like we said, but they're all trying to understand what exactly is happening to the cat.
Now, Einstein himself hated, absolutely hated this interpretation, even though he admitted that it does seem to agree with facts. And when people visited Einstein's house, he would sometimes look up in the sky, point to the moon, and ask a question that I'll ask you in a moment, and that is, does the moon exist because a mouse looks at the moon? Let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, let's talk about whether or not the moon exists only because a mouse looks at the moon. You are listening listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on National Radio. Give us a call.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor of Theoretical Physics, Dr. Sean Carroll, author of a number of great books. His latest one is called Something Deeply Hidden, Quantum Worlds and the Emergence of Space-Time. Now, when we're in high school, we learned about something called solipsism or Berkeleyism, and the fact that philosophers, believe it or not, once upon a time asked themselves a question. If there's no one there to listen to a tree, did a tree really fall in the forest? Well, come on, give me a break. Most people would say this is a rather stupid philosophical question. Of course trees can fall without humans being there to observe the falling of the tree. But now we have quantum mechanics, which says that before a tree falls, in some sense, it exists not just upright or fallen, but it exists in all possible parallel states, as toothpicks, as burnt firewood, as a vibrant tree. So what are your thoughts now about even the fact that Einstein didn't like this interpretation? And when people would visit Einstein's house, he would point to the moon and say, "Does the moon exist because a mouse looks at the moon?"
Yeah, you know, I'm with Einstein. I do not think that looking at the moon has anything at all to do with whether or not the moon exists. But you can give some credit to people who were struggling with quantum mechanics in the 20th century. And the rules of quantum mechanics as we teach them to our students, it's clearly the case that words like measure and observe and look at are right there in the rules of quantum mechanics. And this seems very frustrating. This doesn't seem like what it should be like if you're really talking about a fundamental theory of nature. So the good news is that even though you might have been tempted to think that somehow looking at the world brings it into existence or alters it in some way, there are modern, much more physics-oriented versions of quantum mechanics, like the many-worlds theory, for example, but there's other examples also, where it's just physics, where there's nothing special about looking or consciousness or perception.
Okay, we'll get into that in a moment, the many worlds idea. However, let me ask you another question. Eugene Wigner won the Nobel Prize, one of the founders of the quantum theory. In fact, he helped to build the atomic bomb. But Eugene Wigner had a very different spin on all this. He took it one step farther and said that if observation determines existence, then who determines whether I exist or not? Well, somebody has to look at me looking at the experiment to determine which way the wave function is pointing. But who looks at that person looking at this person looking at this person? And he said there's an infinite chain of observers, each one determining the existence of the previous observer, going all the way up to, believe it or not, cosmic consciousness. In his memoirs, he even quotes from Indian philosophy, Hinduism, to talk about the fact that there's an infinite chain of observations going up to cosmic consciousness. Now, Eugene Wigner was no slouch, winner of the Nobel Prize, builder of the atomic bomb. What are your thoughts?
You know, like I said, he wasn't doing things like that, saying things like that, thinking things like that for no good reason. It fit in very well with what we understood about quantum mechanics at the time. But he did later change his mind. He realized that he had gone a little bit too far. And I think that, you know, physicists are generally conservative in outlook, even though the theories that we invent and explore might seem very wild. If we have two possibilities in front of us, one of which is more or less down to earth and simple, and the other is a little bit wilder and woolier and vague, we're going to choose the simpler down to earth one. And so I think that these days, in the 21st century, there's no reason to draw any explicit connection between the mind or consciousness and anything that happens in quantum mechanics.
Okay, now let's go to another interpretation of the Schrodinger cat problem. Maybe the universe splits in half, where one universe has a dead cat, the universe has a live cat. The person who proposed this was a young gentleman called Hugh Everett at Princeton University. He couldn't get a job. He couldn't get a job because his theory was so outrageous, so blasphemous to the people who believed in the Bohr interpretation of quantum mechanics, that he wound up as a weapons scientist working for, I think, the RAND Corporation and working on nuclear weapons. So tell us a little bit about Hugh Everett.
Yeah, Everett was a really smart guy. You know, he landed in graduate school. He was working with John Wheeler, the famous physicist who coined terms like black hole and wormhole and so forth. And Wheeler was an acolyte of Niels Bohr being the godfather of quantum mechanics and the Copenhagen interpretation, the guy who said, it's fine to think that observations and measurements are an important fundamental part of reality. And the problem that Everett started working on was the quantum theory of the universe as a whole, quantum cosmology. And this is back in the 1950s. This is a very, very early days, the first people who ever thought about this problem. And Everett realized that if what you're studying is the entire universe, there can't be any external observer looking at it. The universe is the whole thing. The universe is all there is. So he said, well, we must be able to come up with a version of quantum mechanics that doesn't rely on external observers. So So he sort of sat down and played with the equations, and what he realized is you can get rid of observers if you just think of observers as good old quantum mechanical systems. Doesn't matter if it's a person or a video camera or a cat or anything else. And you realize that just like electrons, observers can be in superpositions of different states. So he says when you actually look at an electron, it's not that the wave function of the electron collapses and gives you some certain answer. It's that you become entangled with the electron. And at the end of the day, what you have are a set of separate worlds where the electron is doing different things, and you saw it doing different things. And this is not something he put in. This is just him recognizing that that's what Schrödinger's equation predicts. And all Everett does is say, and that's okay. Having all these other worlds around there shouldn't really bother you.
Okay, now let me ask you the question, the killer question that every physicist gets asked at some point or another. And that question is Elvis Presley still alive in another parallel universe? Is there a finite probability that another universe exists where Elvis Presley is still churning out the hits?
You know what? There is. But the sad news is that there's no way to get pictures of him from there into the Weekly World News over here.
And why is that? Why can't we touch these parallel universes?
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. I mean, the reason why it makes sense to talk about these different parts of the quantum wave function as separate universes is that they can't talk to each other. They can't influence each other. The way the equations work is they've become completely separate. There's nothing you can do in one universe to ever notice or figure out what's going on in any of the other ones.
Now, we once had Steve Weinberg on this radio program, winner of the Nobel Prize, and he used this analogy, that if you're in a living room with a radio, your radio could be tuned into Radio Moscow or Havana or whatever, and you exist simultaneously with hundreds of radio stations, but your radio is tuned to one frequency, because you are no longer vibrating at the same frequency, resonant frequency of these other wavelengths, so even though you coexist, even though you really do coexist with many, many radio stations, you have decohered from them and only tune into one. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. I would just add the extra little thing is that you can never tune your radio. You are stuck on that station forever. That's the only one you ever get to. Otherwise, people might get the impression we can sort of re-vibrate ourselves and switch to another universe. But by the rules of quantum mechanics, that's not something we can do.
Okay, well, there's also a TV program called Men in a High Castle, based on a science fiction short story by Philip K. Dick, perhaps one of the greatest science fiction writers of modern times. And it's based on the idea that when you fire a gun and a bullet of an assassin, the bullet is a chemical reaction firing out of the gun, but it's also dependent upon quantum mechanical fluctuations in the atoms of the gunpowder. Sometimes it misfires, sometimes it doesn't misfire. In one universe, the bullet keeps on going and strikes Franklin Roosevelt. He dies, and a new president takes over who's an isolationist, does not prepare for World War II. The Nazis win the World War II, and they cut up America, where California is governed by the Japanese, and the Northeast is governed by the Nazis. The other universe, the bullet misfired because of, you know, quantum mechanical fluctuations in the gunpowder, and Roosevelt was not assassinated, and we won World War II. That is also now a TV program. What are your thoughts? Well,
yeah,
let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we'll talk about popular media and the Man in a High Castle based on the Many Worlds interpretation. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Maybe you can get on 100 radio stations by calling that number.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Young people afraid for their futures skipped school and protested around the globe to implore leaders to tackle climate change, turning out by the hundreds of thousands to insist the warming world can't wait for action. Marches, rallies, and demonstrations were held from Canberra to Kabul, from Cape Town to New York City, and German police even reported that more than 100,000 turned out in Berlin. The demonstrations were partly inspired by the activism of Swedish teenager Greta Thunberg.
But I'm just going to say that I'm so incredibly grateful for every single one of you, and I'm so proud of who has come here. It's not more than I think anyone had expected.
Thunberg spoke at a rally and is expected to participate in the UN Youth Climate Summit and speak at the UN Climate Action Summit with global leaders on Monday. This is USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Message and data rates may apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, this may be the last time you ever have to worry about hair loss. Because Bosley is the real deal. They're giving women and men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text TITAN11 to 85850. Bosley will show you, for free, how great your hair could look. You'll also see, for free, why you're losing hair and how to get it back. Women and men all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert. Ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part? Bosley has permanent solutions to hair loss. You'll love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting TITAN11 to 85850. Don't forget, that's TITAN11 to 85850.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95, and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Professor of Theoretical Physics, Sean Carroll, author of an exciting new book called Something Deeply Hidden, Quantum Worlds and the Emergence of Space-Time. He's a professor of theoretical physics at the California Institute of Technology, author of a number of other great books, including From Eternity to Here, The Particle at the End of the Universe, and The Big Picture. Well, when we last left off, we were talking about the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics. And just so you know where I come from, I happen to believe in that interpretation. Professionally, I work in something called string theory. And string theory, in fact, I'm the co-founder of string field theory, one of the main branches of string theory. And in string theory, yes, we do have a multiverse of potential universes. But there's even a TV program called The Man in the High Castle, based on a science fiction short story by Philip K. Dick, stating that, well, whether a gun misfires or not could be a quantum phenomenon. After all, think about it. Gunpowder firing or misfiring goes down to the atoms of the gunpowder, and maybe a bullet misfires, and that could change the course of history if that bullet was aimed at Franklin Roosevelt before the beginning of World War II. So, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think it's actually not the craziest idea in the world, right? The question that I always like to focus in on is, how should we think about what causes this branching of universes? So in Philip K. Dick's example, there's a quantum fluctuation in the gunpowder that causes it to go off or not. That's a very physically realistic thing. That's the kind of thing that quantum fluctuations really do. And the question is, can a tiny result like that, the bullet firing or not, can it be amplified to make the world dramatically different, like the United States wins World War II or the Axis wins World War II? And in exactly the right circumstances, in exactly the right historical moment, something like that really can happen. So it's not that someone's decision or someone's action created a new universe. Some quantum fluctuation of tiny little subatomic particles created a new universe. But that can lead to a cascade of events that makes things very different from one universe to another.
Okay, now let's get into cosmology, because that's one of your specialties. On the air, we once had Professor Alan Guth of MIT, founder of the inflationary universe theory, and he tried to apply the quantum theory to the beginning of the universe, and he said that if the universe banged once, and it's a quantum event, there's a certain probability that it will bang a second time. And a third time, and a fourth time. In fact, continual creation is what comes out of quantum mechanics. So he said that once you apply quantum mechanics to Einstein's Big Bang theory, you're almost forced to conclude that it could happen again. There are quantum probabilities in many worlds that would say that there could be a multiverse of universes. Instead of one bubble, we have a bubble bath of universes. So what are your thoughts about bubble baths of universes?
You know, I'm a big fan. Actually, I've written papers about the same kind of idea, that quantum fluctuations, once you couple them to Einstein's idea that general relativity says space-time is curved and dynamical, right? Space-time, where we live and breathe and move around, it's not something that is just static sitting there in the background. It's something that changes when matter and energy float around in different ways. So when you take the fact that space-time itself can move and fluctuate, and add it to the fact that quantum mechanics says that fluctuations happen in different crazy ways, it's absolutely plausible that different universes can be born out of a single previous universe. So I don't know if that's true. No one knows if it's true. But it's a very reasonable extrapolation from what we already know about physics.
Okay, great. Let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The book today we're talking about is Something Deeply Hidden, Quantum Worlds and the Emergence of Space-Time. Stay tuned now for the next segment of Science Fantastic as we go to the question, what happened before the Big Bang? What happened before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? Stay tuned.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply. But hey, I'm buying a huge flat screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text 211 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text 211 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's D-O-1-1 to 350-350.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products started under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
To you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Professor Sean Carroll of the California Institute of Technology. And we are talking about the multiverse. Are there other parallel universes out there? Now, the late Professor Stephen Hawking had mixed feelings about this. He called them baby universes, that even the vacuum of nothing could be frothing with a bubble bath of baby universe popping in and out of existence. He called it the space-time foam. But he was also famous in his latest book for saying that, well, God cannot exist because the universe was born in an instant of time and there was no time. There was no time for God to create the universe, therefore there's no God. Now, if we have a multiverse of ideas, wasn't there a universe before the Big Bang? That if our universe budded from another universe, according to inflation theory, then doesn't that mean that there was time before time?
Yeah, I think this is one of those questions that's easy to ask, very hard to answer. We don't know to any certainty whatsoever what happened at the Big Bang or whether there was anything before the Big Bang. I know that cosmologists sometimes in popular talks like to say, well, the Big Bang was truly the beginning. There's absolutely nothing before that. It was the origin of time itself. That might be true, but the real accurate statement is that we just don't know. So it could be that the beginning of the universe was the Big Bang, but it could be the Big Bang came out of something else. For that matter, we don't even know whether time is a fundamental concept. We don't know whether time is a truly central part of the equations of physics or just a useful approximation to us.
Okay, now I also asked Alan Guth on the air, that if these baby universes can pop out of nothing, out of vacuum fluctuation, these are virtual particles that simply pop out of nothing, then isn't it possible to create a baby universe in an oven in your laboratory? And he said, well, it sounds like an outrageous idea. Can you become God and create a baby universe on your own? But he's done the calculation. He's done the calculation, and yes, in principle, a very advanced civilization could heat up in an oven empty space to the point where the conservation of energy would allow the creation of bubbles to form, bubbles in space-time, wormholes, and one of these bubbles may pop into existence to create a baby universe. Of course, he said it's quite dangerous to do so. The explosion he calculated would be that of a small atomic bomb. You would have to run like hell, he said, if you create a baby universe. So what are your thoughts? Is this just nonsense? Is this just a plaything of theoretical physicists? Or is there some truth to the idea that universes can pop out of nothing?
Yeah, you know, I think you have to keep in mind the amount of imagination a great theoretical physicist like Alan Guth has. So when he says, in principle, this could be done by an advanced civilization, don't think that, you know, within 100 years we're going to be able to do this. This is the kind of thing that would require truly cosmic amounts of energy and enormous precision, the kind that we really can't dream of right now. But physicists like to talk about, yeah, what could happen in principle? What do the laws of physics allow us to imagine? And according to the best understanding of physics that we have right now, which is always update, always ready to be changed if we learn new things about the universe, but according to that understanding, yeah, you can bring a new universe into existence. But just like the many worlds of Hugh Everett, once you do it, you can't visit it. It goes off its own way. It's its own separate thing. So you're still stuck in the universe you started in.
Okay, now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about black holes and also the quantum mechanics of black holes. First of all, just a few months ago, it was announced that we have photographed a black hole in a neighboring galaxy, M87, and that was an incredible feat, right? So first of all, what is a black hole, and what did we see in that picture?
Yeah, well, Einstein came up with the idea that nothing can move faster than the speed of light. And then he also came up with the idea that gravity is the curvature of space-time. When you get a lot of stuff in one region of space, it causes a gravitational field that warps the space-time around it. So a black hole is just where you've warped the space-time so dramatically that to leave that region.
Okay, we're going to have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to talk about black holes and, well, is the universe a simulation? In other words, can you pack only a finite digitizable amount of information in a black hole, and are we having a conversation in somebody else's computer? Well, stay tuned. Give us a call if you want to get on Science Fantastic. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Give us a call.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Dan Perkins here for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans, Tip of the Day. Are you one of the 50,000 disabled vets who have student loan debt? The President has issued an order not only to forgive that debt, but wants to make it easier and quicker to get it done. So here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. If you're disabled and you went to college, first of all, you are my hero. You may be eligible to have your loans be forgiven. Contact your local VA center or go to va.gov for more information on how to get these loans paid in full. Paying off your loans is just another way to say thank you for your service. This is Dan Perkins with your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Sean Carroll, Professor of Theoretical Physics at the California Institute of Technology, author of an exciting new book, Something Deeply Hidden, Quantum Worlds and the Emergence of Space-Time. Where we last left off, we were talking about black holes and the fact that they're so massive that even light itself cannot escape from a black hole. Now, some people have claimed that there is a maximum amount of quantum information that you can pack into a black hole. All the information of a black hole is basically encoded on the surface of the black hole, and there's only a finite amount of quantum information that you can throw into a black hole. Is that true? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that seems to be what we learn from, especially from Stephen Hawking's understanding of how black holes give off radiation, right? Hawking discovered that black holes aren't completely black. If you take quantum mechanics into account, they give off particles and lose energy in the process. And that also allowed him to calculate that black holes have entropy. And there's a long, you know, set of arguments here, and there's math involved, etc., but at the end of the day, the entropy is telling us how much information can be put into that black hole. And the amazing thing is it's a finite amount. It's a big amount. Black holes have a very, very large entropy, but it's not infinitely big. And that seems to tell us that black holes, and maybe everything in the universe, is somehow discrete. There's only a finite number of different ways the universe can be arranged.
Now, some people claim that after watching the movie The Matrix with Keanu Reeves, that maybe we live in a simulation. That everything we do is actually pre-programmed in a videotape. Somebody pushed the play button, and here we are dancing as if we have free will, when actually it's nothing but somebody else's computer game that somebody initiated by hitting the start button. Now, when I first heard that, I first thought that, well, that's a stupid idea. I mean, look at quantum mechanics and Newtonian mechanics, so many different variables that you would have to program into a video machine. However, If only a finite amount of information can be squeezed into a black hole, it can be digitized. So therefore, doesn't that mean that in some sense, there is a maximum amount of digital information you can cram into a universe? That you could actually count all possible universes, And maybe it's not such an outlandish idea that we're all puppets in somebody's video game. But, well, what are your thoughts?
It's still a fairly outlandish idea, but it might be right. I think you're exactly right. The fact that we learn from black holes that there might only be a finite number of different quantum mechanical states the universe could be in, even if that number is very, very large, it does point in the direction of saying maybe someone could have built this on a computer. My own objection is just that our universe doesn't look like the kind of universe I would expect if someone built it on a computer. But then again, someone is certainly able to say, what do you know about what it would look like if someone built it on a computer? So I'm open-minded about that.
Well, some people say that the universe, at least the earthbound universe that we live on, is so stupid. Why would any godlike intelligence bother to create this super-duper universe to simulate us? We're not worth simulating. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's a tempting thing to think, but the whole point of doing a simulation is that you don't know what's going to happen, right? I mean, when you do an experiment, when you do a computer copy of something that is trying to say, like, with these initial conditions, where does the system go? You don't know ahead of time what the answer is going to be. So if I were arguing on the pro-simulation side of things, I would say, you know, maybe the people who made us are disappointed, but that doesn't mean that they didn't make us.
Okay, well, now let's talk about a theory that wraps all of this together. There is a theory called string theory, which is what I do for a living. However, there are critics who say that a theory of everything is untestable. You would have to create an atom smasher the size of the Milky Way galaxy to test this theory. Other people say that, well, physics is done indirectly. No one's ever visited the sun, except we know quite a bit about the sun, even though we've never visited the sun, by looking at sunlight. And so some people say that, well, maybe we'll pick up dark matter in an atom smasher one day. Maybe we'll pick up new subatomic particles that agree with string theory. But it's controversial, so what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty pro-string theory in the sense that I think that it is the most promising theory of quantum gravity that people have been thinking about. But I think you have to admit that progress has slowed down a little bit in the program of connecting string theory to reality. You know, we can do wonderful calculations in string theory, but they don't quite seem to lead us to any direct insights about the particles and forces that we observe. And so that's a problem. It might be that the connection is there, but we haven't found it yet, and physics is hard, and it might take a lot of time, or it might be that it's just on the wrong track. I think that right now, the only respectable thing to do, responsible thing, is to keep both options open and keep trying our best.
Okay, well, some of the critics of string theory says that it absorbs so much resources and so many young people are starry-eyed and want to work in string theory that it bleeds. It bleeds other disciplines. But isn't that always true? I remember in the 1960s when the quark model came out, everybody was doing the quark model. Nobody was doing string theory at that time. And, well, fashion. I mean, fashions come and go, especially at the cutting edge of physics. So what are your thoughts about people who say that some theories get too much attention? But isn't that the way science is done at the cutting edge?
Yeah, I think this is a great issue, a great question, and I'm not sure what to do about it. I do think that there are bandwagons, there are fashions in physics, and sometimes the bandwagons turn out to be right, but sometimes they don't. And it's inevitable why they happen, because if you're excited about something, then you want to promote and hire other people who are excited about the same thing. That's not wrong. That's not a flaw. So I think that it would be better if there was sort of space carved out for people who didn't want to do the mainstream thing. You know, good people, not crackpots, people who, you
okay.
know, respect
Sean,
science.
Unfortunately, we have yeah. run out of time. Thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And once again, the book is called Something Deeply Hidden, Quantum Worlds and the Emergence of Space-Time by Professor Sean Carroll, Professor of Theoretical Physics at the California Institute of Technology. And you are listening to Science Fantastic. And if you want to get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Give us a call and maybe you can get on national radio.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$5,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.